think I would like to start. It is 1 o'clock on the dot now. I'm the Honourable Novel O'Mac. I'm in this precarious position of chairing this committee for this presentation of PSC. Our chairperson has put in an apology, and I must apologize to him. He's accompanied chairperson of the NCOP, the Honourable Maslangu, that visits to the DRC, Congo, where they are trying to put up a similar structure as the NCOP, and he's going to assist our chairperson. A few of our members have taken ill, and a few are around, but they will be joining us at the time. We are here to accept the presentation of PSC on the budget vote for local government, for the administration, local government and administration. And we welcome and say good afternoon to PSC Prof and your people. And I would leave it over to you, Prof, to just introduce your team to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and to the honourable members of the Select Committee on Local Government and Administration. We are grateful indeed for this opportunity to present to you the Public Service Commission's strategic plan for the period 2008 to 2010-11. It's a very long story, but we'll cut it very, very, very short, very, very brief. We will present to you the highlights of our strategic plan for the MTF period 2008-2009, as I've said, 2011, where we'll give you the highlights of our branches that we operate with in the Public Service Commission and its office. But very much important, we will also outline to you what the contextual challenges that arise as we approach the forthcoming period are, particularly those challenges that relate to the resource constraints and the increased demands upon the PSC. Increased demands, in particular, arising from the emerging new public service which will bring on board the local government structures, which, as you know, will be in line with the rest of the public service at the national, provincial, and provincial level. That will impose very severe resource demands on the Public Service Commission, and that is one of the contextual challenges that we have. But without any waste of time, I will ask our colleague, the Deputy Director General, Mr. Admiral Simpson, to make the presentation. Before that, indeed, I should introduce my colleagues. To my right is my colleague, Mr. David Mashego, who is our commissioner based in the province of Mpumalanga. He is no stranger to most of you, I would believe, because in his previous life, he did operate from these precincts here. And then to my left is Mr. Indra Naidu, the Chief Director in our Office of the Public Service Commission, as well as the extreme left, Mr. Admiral Simpson, who is the Deputy Director General in our office, and he will lead us in this brief presentation of our strategic plan, and we'll then entertain any questions that you may wish to raise. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Prof. If I could just ask the members, starting with Bob and Tuli, just to introduce themselves also. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, and I am Chris Ntuli from KwaZulu-Natal. I'm the member of this committee. Thanks.
I'm Daryl Worth, a member of this committee from Free State.
I'm Dirkson Merba, member of the committee. I'm from the Northern Cape.
Thank you, members. Then we also have our staff and the gentleman, Colin Moss. He's the secretary for the for this committee. Next to him, we have a colleague, Pokwena. He's a researcher for the committee. And right at the bottom, we have PMG, and he's also with us. Then I've requested, Prof, we have a very short time, and as we still have to attend a sitting at 3 o'clock, and if we could sure have the presentation maybe shortened to 30 minutes, where we can have some time for the members to engage in questions. The member that has just arrived is the Honorable Ray Museki from Northwest. There's just one, two things that I would like to clear with you, Prof, is that we received the documentation only this morning. And in future, if we could receive it earlier for us just to go through and members to prepare themselves to better engage with the commission, it will be very much appreciated. Then also, there was one matter of questions previously in our past engagement that we put, and we didn't receive the answers to those questions. I think if you could just clarify that to us, and then we can get the presentation. Thank you.
I don't know, you want me to deal with your questions now? I can very briefly deal with your questions. The first one, the matter of the documentation, it arises from the problem that I have raised with the chairperson, that if we get to know about these engagements in a week's time, it does impose very severe challenges on us to prepare adequately, even in terms of the documentation. We got to know about this meeting only last week, and that came at a time when we were already in the middle of a very big event, the plenary session for the Public Service Commission, as well as preparations for the budget vote. That did indeed create very serious challenges on our part, hence the late delivery of the documentation, which you have referred to. The questions that were raised at the last meeting, I'm very much surprised, because I do remember the questions being prepared, but I'll look into that matter, because my recollection is that the questions were indeed prepared. Something must have happened in their transmission down this week, but we'll follow that one up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. In the interest of time, you have been provided with the presentation. The presentation, as printed in the copies provided to you, would look at the achievements of the Public Service Commission over the 2007-08 period. It looks at issues such as regional integration, and I will briefly touch upon that. But then the major focus of my presentation will be on the 2008-09 and 2010-11 strategic plan for the Public Service Commission. The first approximately 13 slides, whilst I will not go through them, I think it's important for the committee to note the extent and the amount of work that the Public Service Commission has done. And you must view this in the context that you're really dealing with an organization that only consists of about 220 employees. In lieu of the request that we limit this presentation to 30 minutes, I think it's important for us then, in preparation for the select committee for the budget vote, that we focus on the strategic focus forward and our budgetary issues looking forward over the MTF period, if you are in agreement with that. But at the same time, I think you should take note of the extent of work that has gone through in the last financial year, where in our previous strategic planning session, we actually adopted the theme of going for broke, and that's what we did. We delivered beyond our meager resources that was allocated to us. If I can then move you to slide 14, which I think I just need to highlight, which is a more recent development for the Public Service Commission, is around regional integration. The Public Service Commission has been instrumental in the establishment of an African Public Services Commission Association. This was established at a meeting that took place in Kampala, Uganda, on 9 April 2008. And important to note is that our chair was appointed as the interim president of this association, and that the office will serve as interim secretariat. In addition, we are also supporting the Southern Sudan Civil Service Commission. We have already visited them in February 2008, and as a result of this visit, a memorandum of understanding was signed between the PSC and the Southern Sudan Civil Service Commission. And we are continuing to provide support to the Civil Service Commission in its efforts to put in place systems and programs to execute its mandate. I thought it is important to highlight this as an additional undertaking by the Public Service Commission that will continue during the upcoming MTF period. But then looking at the strategic plan for the MTF period 2008-09 and 2010-11, we held our strategic planning session in April 2008 under the theme "To the Finish and Beyond." In fulfilling our complex involved mandate, the PSC's work has grown quantitatively and qualitatively. Within the discourse of public administration, increased reference is made to our reports, both with inside and with outside the public service. Our technical oversight, investigative and advisory support to government departments and the executive has never been valued as much as is currently the case. And in this regard, I think there's numerous examples that I could cite where the Standing Committee on Public Accounts has made use of the Public Service Commission to do specific reports that they require, whether it be around vacancy rates in the public service, around the awarding of merit bonuses to senior managers in the public service. There's also a number of requests that emanate from the executive that that places additional demands on the Public Service Commission for interventions in departments such as Home Affairs and Land Affairs. The PSC has firmly positioned itself as the custodian of good governance and promoting excellence in public administration, and it has been able to achieve this in the context of very limited resources and has yet managed to deliver far beyond its resources. Having raised the bar, the PSC is faced with the challenge of bettering what has been done to date and deepening its impact amidst the winds of change blowing inside and outside its environment. With effect from 1 April 2008, the Office of the Public Service Commission is now divided into four branches. The first branch is corporate services, dealing with the administrative support to the office. The second branch, leadership and management practices, which deals with labor relations improvements, leadership and human resource reviews. The branch monitoring and evaluation, dealing with governance monitoring, service delivery and quality assurance, and the branch integrity and anti-corruption, which deals with public administration investigations and professional ethics. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the very wide and encompassing mandate of the Public Service Commission contained in Chapter 10 of the Public Constitution. And these six key performance areas that falls under the three line function branches is the PSC's method of breaking its broad mandate down into specific focal areas to enable it, with its limited resources, to address the needs emanating from its mandate. Under the branch leadership and management practice over the MTSF period, the PSC will continue to contribute towards the strengthening of public service leadership through the implementation of the framework for the evaluation of heads of department, providing advice on the quality of the performance agreements of HODs and reporting compliance trends to stakeholders. The Public Service Commission is mandated by Cabinet to facilitate the evaluation of heads of departments in the public service. It has taken on this role since around about 2001, and this process has been rolled out throughout the whole of the public service, and we are continuing to facilitate the process and refining the process. Having piloted an organizational performance assessment instrument, this will be applied as part of the HOD evaluation process, and executing authorities will receive a condensed analytical reports on the performance of individual departments. We've noted that in many instances there is a discrepancy between the performance rating of a head of department and the actual performance of departments. So to complement the HOD evaluation process, the organizational assessment performance assessment instrument will also be applied. In order to generate evaluative data on the practical challenges and good practices in the area of public service leadership, an assessment of the effectiveness of public leadership in the promotion of intergovernmental relations will be conducted. The PSC's research reflects also the need for considerable strengthening in human resource management in the public service. It is also unlikely that the situation in local government may be better. So the PSC intends overseeing the effectiveness of human resource management in all spheres of government and to develop instruments and toolkits that can be applied by all institutions to assist in improving the internal implementation of the HRM practices. In this area, whilst we have an oversight role to fulfill and we provide Parliament and the legislatures with research reports on human resource management practices, we also have a developmental role to fulfill, and we've already published a number of toolkits and guidelines on issues such as recruitment and selection, the management of poor performance, amongst others. The Public Service Commission's mandate in respect of human resource management has also been affected by the introduction of the Public Service Amendment Act 2007, with effect from 1 April 2008. In terms of this Amendment Act, the Public Service Commission may conduct investigations on compliance with the Act and issue directives on the personnel practices of recruitment, promotions, transfers, and dismissals in terms of Section 1964D of the Constitution. These directives must be implemented by executing authorities. It's got a different requirement in terms of implementation as, for example, our recommendations. While this provision has strengthened the Public Service Commission's powers to ensure compliance, it has also resulted in an increase of its workload and will have to be addressed through concomitant resource allocations in future. In the area of labor relations improvement, the PSC has established itself as a key role player in the promotion of sound labor relations in the public service through the handling of grievances, investigative research in labor relations practices, and its advocacy work through guidelines, workshops, and conferences. I'm not going to go into the detail around the handling of grievances, except to say that there have been an improvement in the internal handling of grievances by department due to sensitization by the PSC of both employees, organized labor, and departments regarding the referral of grievances. However, delays in the resolution of grievances continue to be affected by the non-submission of critical information to the Public Service Commission by departments. The Public Service Commission has tabled proposed amendments to the grievance rules with the Department of Public Service and Administration, and these proposed amendments will be the subject of negotiations within the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Chamber. In the meantime, the Public Service Commission will continue to oversee the current grievance rules. In order to prepare itself for the implementation of the single public service legislation, the Public Service Commission will also audit grievance resolution mechanisms in local government to ensure that it is conversant with the systems applicable and the roles of all the stakeholders involved. Labor relations in the public service are also impacted on by both internal and external factors, and one of the external factors that especially impacts on collective bargaining through wage negotiations is variations in the cost of living. Research will therefore be conducted on the influence of this on labor relations within the public service. The Public Service Commission will continue to engage with its strategic stakeholders with a view to create partnerships in pursuance of its role in labor relations. And specific attention will be given to partnerships within the local sphere of government, as the PSC has up to date not engage with labor relations at this level. The strategic partnership that we've already established with the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Chamber, we co-hosted a conference last year, the first of its nature, a public service labor relations conference. We will continue with that partnership, and a second conference will be co-hosted in 2009. In the area of governance monitoring and the branch monitoring and evaluation, the Public Service Commission has located monitoring and evaluation at the core of all of its oversight work, and in the process developing and applying a range of instruments to collect and analyze evaluative data. One such instrument has been the Transversal Public Service Monitoring and Evaluation System, which the PSC has been running for the last 6 years. The Public Service Commission will continue to strengthen the indicators and standards it uses in the system to improve the quality of data and reports generated, and future annual samples will also include departments in which the system was applied previously in order to assess the progress made since the first assessment. Only this morning we presented a consolidated report on the monitoring and evaluation that we did in the previous financial year, where we undertook a M&E of 22 departments within the public service. The report has been tabled in Parliament, and I'm sure you have already received copies of this report. The PSC has also recognized the need to promote a reflective approach towards monitoring and evaluation. Such an approach is necessary considering that while the PSC often conducts secondary research which relies on data from already existing sources, it's not had a systematic mechanism through which to assess the reliability of the data. In order to address this gap, the PSC has developed an internal conceptual framework for meta-evaluation, the evaluation of an evaluation, and this framework will assist the PSC to assess the rigor of its evaluation products, as well as externally produced evaluation products that the PSC may want to use in secondary analysis. A flagship oversight product of the PSC has continued to be the annual State of the Public Service Report, which you all are familiar with. This report provides a high-level analytical overview of the progress made by the public service and giving effect to the constitutional values and principles of public administration. The 2009 SOPS report will be based on a specific priority theme to be decided on by the Public Service Commission. As far as service delivery and quality assurance is concerned, we all know that during 2006-07, the country experienced incidents of service delivery protests. And although there are differing views regarding what caused these protests, the PSC believes that the protests should serve as an important wake-up call to remind all concerned about the importance of participatory governance in the country. The Public Service Commission itself will continue to promote citizens' participation and encourage the use of citizen satisfaction surveys. To date, the PSC Citizen Satisfaction Service has annually focused on selected services of samples of departments. Having gained important methodological experiences from these surveys, the PSC will in future work towards the identification and development of specific drivers of citizen satisfaction for South Africa. These drivers will then inform the design and application of subsequent surveys in a way that broadens the scope of departments and services covered. The PSC will strengthen its work on the inspection of service delivery sites to ensure that first-hand information is gathered and reported on the quality of service delivery in the public service. And the inspections assess a number of elements pertaining to service delivery, including implementation of recommendations of previous research reports. In the area of public administration investigations, I'm just briefly going to go through this to indicate that we have the mandate in terms of the Constitution to conduct investigations of own accord or on receipt of complaints. We will continue conducting such investigations. We will also increase our scope in terms of the investigations to include local governments, and we will also attempt to increase our capacity. We do have a serious need for an increase in our capacity to deal with cases referred to the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, as there is a concern around the extent of compliance by departments to provide us with feedback on cases referred to them through the hotline. Within this area, I previously mentioned the fact that we are increasingly being involved in interventions in other departments, and the PSC will continue to provide such a support to departments, but cognizance must be taken of the fact that this impacts on our ability to deliver in other areas of our mandate. Within the area of professional ethics, I've already referred to the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. We will continue to put our focus on improving feedback to the hotline, as well as bolstering our own capacity to deal with this referral and investigation of cases on the hotline. We have also been a key stakeholder and a key role player in the development of a framework for the management of conflicts of interest for our financial disclosure framework. And currently, we have developed proposals for the improvement of the framework, which is serving before the Ministry for Public Service and Administration, which, if it is implemented, will create even more a mandate creep or increase in mandate for as far as the Public Service Commission is concerned. We also want to deepen our role as far as the National Anti-Corruption Forum. I don't know if everybody is familiar with the National Anti-Corruption Forum. It's a forum consisting of civil society, business, and the public sector, which provides a united front against corruption. And up to date, we have really been playing a facilitating role as the secretariat, but there have been a lot of calls for the PSC to have a more active role as far as the NACF is concerned, to ensure that its programs are driven to the extent that it should be. In the interest of time, I'm not going to deal with the branch corporate services. I will move to the NTF estimates on slide 32. For the 2008-09 financial year, we have received 111 million. This will increase to 120 and 132 million over the next two financial years. The additional amounts that we will get is only 660,000 rands for 2008-09, a total of 3.5 million for 19, and 8.18 million for 2010-11. Now, these increases in amounts must be seen within the contextual challenges that the Public Service Commission faces. As I've already indicated, the PSC only received 666,000 rands for strengthening its oversight, promotion, and directional role for 2008 and 2009. And this requires urgent attention if the PSC is to maintain the quality of its support role to the Executive Parliament and provincial legislatures. In the area of professional ethics, the PSC has put in place mechanisms to ensure the effective management of conflicts of interest that I've referred to. And once our recommendations on the implementation of a framework for the management of conflicts of interest in the public service have been fully implemented, our role will increase significantly. I've already indicated as well that there has been calls from the sectors for an increase in the activities and impact of the National Anti-Corruption Forum, and the PSC as secretariat will have to move beyond its current role and more actively drive the activities and outputs of the NACF. A new national anti-corruption program will also be developed by the NACF following the third National Anti-Corruption Summit, and funding for the implementation of this program will be required. In order to ensure the credibility of the NACH, the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, our internal capacity to investigate complaints must be improved. I've previously referred to the fact that we do experience problems with the rate of feedback by departments, but that in view of our own limited capacity, we are restricted in the extent to which we can take up some of the investigations ourselves. The Executive has realized the value that the Public Service Commission adds through its investigative research and interventions, and as I've indicated, demands on the Public Service Commission are continuously increasing for full-scale interventions. During the previous year, we had a very big intervention at the Department of Land Affairs, focusing on key service delivery issues within the department that impacted on our ability to deliver in other areas. Such demands on the Public Service Commission can only be accommodated in future if our resource allocations are adjusted accordingly. The services and support of the PSC have in recent years also increasingly been required in other parts of the continent. I've referred to initiatives around the establishment of the Association of Public Services Commissions and the Southern Sudan Civil Service, and these will pose additional resource challenges to our organization. Managing the imminent change, as you're all aware, our country is scheduled to have its next general elections in 2009, which will usher in a new term of office of government. This changing external political environment will impact on our administrative environment. We are fortunate that sound protocols of engagement have already been established with the Executive Parliament, provincial legislatures, and the PSC is confident that these, together with the strong basis it has laid through to work, will guide interaction with the new stakeholders. During 2009, within the organization of the Public Service Commission, the terms of office of many current commissioners, including that of the current chairperson, will be coming to an end. As a result, we'll be experiencing a change of the guard and will have to deal with challenges of ensuring a smooth transition. As far as strengthening oversight and deepening democracy is concerned, the PSC has always positioned itself as a technical oversight body whose products and services support Parliament and the provincial legislatures in the fulfillment of its political oversight role. A consequence of this has been greater demands being made on the PSC by parliamentary committees for independent assessments of certain public administration practices. I've referred earlier on to the requests, especially from SCOPA. Following the PSC's interaction with the chairs of parliamentary committees facilitated by the chair of chairs, it has become clear that more is expected in terms of the manner in which the PSC interfaces with the committees of parliament. Considered against the current parliamentary process which seek to develop an improved model for oversight, these developments suggest that Parliament is moving towards exercising greater scrutiny and oversight on the executive. Such a practice may in turn require increased oversight support to be provided by the Public Service Commission. Given the transversal nature of the PSC's work, these expectations are understandable, although the implications for the capacity of the Public Service Commission would need to be carefully looked into. The PSC believes that its interaction with provincial legislatures require more attention. Whilst it tables its report in the provincial legislatures, there has been very limited follow-through by the legislatures on these reports. This undermines the effectiveness of the Public Service Commission and results in key areas of public administration requiring intervention not being addressed at provincial level. We are faced with the situation that in many instances we are not called to the provincial legislatures to actually present our reports and our findings, which contain critical issues to be taken on as far as provincial departments are concerned. A higher level commitment by provincial legislatures will be required during the MTF period to ensure that oversight over the provincial as well as local sphere of government through the implementation of the single public service legislation is strengthened. Then, very importantly for the Public Service Commission, planning for oversight in a single public service. The passing of the Single Public Service Bill, or the Public Service Administration Bill, will see the PSC's mandate extended to local government. This will have a significant impact on the resources of the PSC, which, as I've already indicated, is severely limited and has not really been increased. Although in this strategic plan for the forthcoming MTF period, the PSC has anticipated the extended mandate, much of the PSC's work in this area will rely on substantial additional budgetary and human resources being made available. It is of utmost importance that such resources be allocated as soon as possible to the PSC in order for it to effectively engage with its extended mandate. It can be expected that the rationalization process that will be embarked upon to unify the public service and local government will be challenging and complex. In this process, rigorous technical oversight will be required to generate monitoring data for Parliament and to advise the executive. If the PSC is to fulfill this function, its resource base would need to be strengthened to provide the necessary oversight to inform strategic decision-making when required. In conclusion, I believe that all the members of the committee have been provided with our strategic plan for the MTF period. The comprehensive nature of the information included in the strategic plan illustrates that the PSC is committed to ensure that to ensure the effective implementation of its mandate even beyond its existing capacity. And as I've indicated, the PSC, even in the past financial year, has already delivered far beyond its existing capacity. In order to sustain and deepen the work of the PSC in meeting the changing environment and increasing expectations, urgent consideration is however required to bolster its financial and human resource capacity. The PSC is confident that the body of work that it has already generated and the levels of excellence that it has achieved will convince its stakeholders to take the appropriate steps to ensure that the impact of the PSC's work continues to grow within the public service. I thank you.
Thank you. Allow me to, a member has joined us, the very respected and well-known Honorable Kgosi Mokoena. He also chairs the Select Committee on Safety and Security, Justice at All Cluster. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Irrespective of the restriction of time, I think you have done well. I think it is. You were very efficient. I've watched your time. I've timed you, and I think you've done well according to time. I also think you've been very clear and very effective in your presentation. It is good to see right at the front and from the start that you've also had an unqualified audit. And I like the word again. It stresses something. Again, we have again received an unqualified report. I think we must congratulate you on that. And then that's actually an achievement, because very many departments that appear before the committee have qualified reports, and it's a struggle. But I wouldn't like to take a lot of time. I'd like to open the next session for questions. It's a very exciting. If there's anything to add, Prof.
No, thank you very much. I don't think in the interest of time I can add anything. We'll deal with anything that arises out of the questions that the members may wish to raise.
Okay. Thank you. Then I'll open the floor for questions. And I see the first hand, Honorable Worth. Next, Honorable Tuli. Honorable Maseki. Thank you. Let us start with Honorable Worth.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'd just like to thank the Professor and the PSC for their presentation. I always find your documents very interesting. I must say they come land on my desk from time to time, and they vary. It's the housing, and then it's something else and something else. But I must say I find it very interesting and very useful and make interesting reading. Having said that, because of the shortage of time, on your slide number 17, you are involved in the quality of the performance agreements. And I've stated this to a previous department, to Dr. Levine, as well as the Deputy Minister, that only of municipal managers, only 72% apparently have completed performance agreements. The others either don't want to, or they've only been there too new, and they've got to hold on for a year and what have you. And that is at one of the highest levels of a municipality, let alone the other department heads and so forth. I asked a question once to the Minister of local government, what are the bonuses being from the Free State asked, what are the bonuses paid to each municipal manager, and B, has any manager not received a bonus as regard of bad management, or has he been suspended? And the answer was no. Yet we just had another three municipalities that are folding in the Free State, and they're all due to be various reasons, but either incompetence or mismanagement or lack of expertise. And yet no manager, municipal manager, seems to be suspended. They get suspended for corruption and fraud. Yes, it's normally the police intervening and whatever. And then even then they suspended for 3 years while their trial's going on. We had one in Bloemfontein, our biggest Mangaung, our biggest municipality. That's about to fold. The expenditure is 11 million more than their income. Why is this? Why isn't this matter grasped and get competent official people there, or if they're not, don't get the bonuses? I don't understand it. If you could explain that to me. Thanks. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
has the Honorable with, just for reference? Honorable Ntuli?
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson, and thanks for the PSC for the good presentation. Chairperson, this vacancy rate, I was expecting the PSC to be faring better in this. I want to find out why you said the establishment is so much, and but you've got about 23 vacant posts. Why is that? Why are you not employing? Because this is a question we are asking all the departments, that whenever we visit, when we're doing oversight, there are vacancies, they are acting, they are temporary. You don't find a department which will say the establishment is so much, they've got no vacancy list. Can you share with us, well, what is this problem? Because we keep on asking, but we don't get joy. Number two is the, how is your relationship with the Special Investigating Unit? I've seen that you are short of staff, particularly with the investigators. Whether is it possible to work together with the Special Investigating Unit? Is it possible to use them when you want to investigate some of the departments and all that? And number three is it possible to, or whether maybe the MECs are not inviting you or requesting you? There are many municipalities in the country where you find that the provincial MECs, they've implemented the Section 139 because of the malfunctioning and corruption in some of the municipalities. I want to find out whether you can be of help to those MECs. Lastly, Chairperson, is the last time, it was last year, when we engaged, there was a problem with the compliant rate from the department, particularly in the performance agreement signing. You were complaining that the departments are not complying. I want to find out now whether it is still the same. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Ntuli. Honorable Museki. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Professor, can I just be a little biased towards my professorship? The grapevine says that it looks like the residence commissioner there is no longer there. He's with the premier. I don't know if he's doing doubles, working in the premier's office, or what is happening, but that's a grapevine. What is the situation exactly? If he's no longer there, has the vacancy been filled now? If he's doing the he's working as advisor to the premier, I'm talking about Northwest, he's working with the premier, and then he's a commissioner also. How is he juggling between the two? Correctly, so you're saying that the single public service bill, if passed, is going to increase your the volume of your work. Now, besides adding the local government, what other areas are going to come to you besides the local sphere of government that you will be doing? You also are raising an issue of managing the changes. Of course, in that context also you're raising that. But you're looking at the within that, you're also raising an issue of the term of office for some of the commissioners, including the professor himself, coming to an end sometime next year. I didn't get exactly at what period are you looking at, and when are the adverts or invitations for people to, or role players to make an input, when is it going out, if we can just get that information. So you are able to deal, because when you talk about managing the changes, you are also looking at the political changes next year. So I think it will be really wise to prepare now to ensure that that transition is managed very smoothly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Musiki. I would just like to inquire from the Honorable Mukwena, seeming that you could, if I want to give you this chance. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I was following the discussions through the monitor. Chair, no preambles, direct to my questions. When doing oversight to departments, which departments are not cooperating or are resisting when doing your oversight functions and investigation and monitoring? The second question is, there are departments that are known to be culprits, that every year they received these qualified audit reports all the time. In your view, what must be done to those kind of departments? Because even if the AG identified issues that need to be addressed, they remain culprits for the very same offenses. In your view, what must happen? The third question. The Citizens Forum versus Izimbizo that are called by the executive. I want you to rate yourself in terms of Izimbizo and the Citizens Forum. Now, the unification of public service. When we do our excuse me, Chairperson. When we do our oversight in provinces, usually and always we got some concerns from officials under the Department of Correctional Services, who said that they prefer to be under the General Bargaining Council. To be Security Bargaining Council. Not under General Bargaining Council as they are put currently. What would be our view on that one? Because they are saying they are not benefiting for being in the General Bargaining Council because they fall under the security class in any way. But when it comes to monies and the negotiations in terms of the salary and stuff, they are clubbed with the normal public servants. What's your view on that one? Now, withdrawal of cases. What would be the cause of this? Because I remember one official who came to me and said, I reported I lodged a grievance, but I was forced to withdraw it because I was intimidated to say, if I continue, I must forget about promotion anyway in the same department. What would be the cause of this withdrawal, this many withdrawals here? Now, the last but one. There are chaotic state of affairs in many departments in terms of the supply chain management. In your view, what must be done to improve the situation? That's where corruption is in terms of supply chain management. The last one. Financial disclosures. 6,647 submitted and 1,299 are still outstanding. Who are the culprits here? The most culprits. From which department are they coming from? These culprits who don't want to cooperate with with your good self. Those were my only sweetheart questions that I present to the PSC. Thanks, Chair.
That's the Honorable Kgosi Mokoena. I was just fearing you when I asked you to put your questions. I thought you were watching and preparing a whole lot of questions. But I'm still in this good position with the Honorable Mokoena not being present. Because then I would have asked him to skip some slides. No. I just have one question myself that is, I think, split up maybe in two. I would like to know, what are you doing in preparing for a single public service with your partners, stakeholders, and in the areas of your work? And even with now, with your broader mandate coming of including local government, and even looking at your budget, what preparatory work is being done, because definitely that will have to increase. I think that is the questions put. Thank you.
Fine. Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members. I hear the bell ringing, calling you to the plenary. I don't know if we'll be able to go through these questions. I will ask my colleagues to take some of the questions. I will first deal with those which I think are easy for me and leave the difficult ones to my colleagues. But more seriously, I will ask my colleague Commissioner Mashego to deal with the ones that relate to the matter of the local government. I think the quality of performance agreements in the local government and how these will relate to us, and the matter of performance agreements there later on, which were asked. Admiral and Imran, you can also pick up the matters relating to Security Bargaining Council, withdrawal of cases, grievances, and the chaotic state of affairs in the supply chain management. I think you can deal with some of those. But let me just kick off on some of these. The questions raised by Honorable Moseki with regard to the matter of the Public Service Commissioner in Northwest, and there is also a related question about the change management arising from the end of term of office of the commissioners. First, the situation in Northwest is that there is a provision within the conditions of service of the public service commissioners whereby commissioners can seek through the president to have their terms redetermined. There is a redetermination mechanism. In other words, instead of serving the full 5-year term, the member may ask that term to be terminated at 4 years and so on. In the case of the Northwest, the commissioner in question sought the president's permission to have his term redetermined before the end of the term, which term was going to end on December 31st, 2008. And the president approved that. So he is technically and in all respects no longer a commissioner, and all his benefits and rights in as far as he is a commissioner have actually been terminated. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't discharge any functions as far as we are aware technically that he would have to do as a commissioner. What he does after that is really not legally an issue that the commission would be involved in. That is the situation is no longer there. But that also then raises the question of a vacant position, which ties up with a later question which was raised. There is quite a number of commissioners. I think there is a total of about 7 commissioners who, by the end of 2008, December 31st, will have reached the end of their term. The term of service or term of office for a commissioner is 5 years, renewable for another term of 5 years, which in some cases therefore means you have a commissioner who is serving for 10 years. When I say seven of them will be reaching the end of their terms as of December 31st, I'm including all those two categories of the commissioners. A commissioner, my colleague here, for instance, he will be reaching the end of his second term, if I'm not mistaken, in December. So that is the end, formally and officially, of the second year term, which means we will need to have somebody else. There are three or four others in that category. Others are reaching the end of term of their first 5 years. But because that's the end, constitutionally, of a term, we also categorize them as commissioners whose terms of office are ending, and therefore there will be vacancies created. Whether they reapply or not reapply, that is besides the point. What is actually being done to deal with that process? Yes, indeed, that's a very good question, because this does raise an issue of change management. We are very much aware of the fact that if by the 31st of December 2008, there will be vacancies of seven commissioners, as we go into January 2009, that will create a crisis at the commission. We have therefore accordingly taken action to sensitize the president as well as the speaker at the national level, because these are the prime actors in the matter of filling up the positions. We will also be doing the same in respect of the provincial speakers. Because in the case of the vacancies at the national level, the president must advise the speaker of the existing vacancies with a request that the speaker should take necessary action to have the posts filled up. As you know, this requires that the speaker will cause an ad hoc committee of parliament consisting of all the parties represented in that committee, and that committee will set in motion the necessary process for the appointment or the recommendation of, for appointment of commissioners. They advertise, they screen, review the candidates that apply, and emerge with a slate of recommendations which they present to the National Assembly, for the National Assembly to adopt and confirm who is to be recommended. And all those names of candidates adopted and approved by the National Assembly are then presented to the President for his appointment as necessary. The same process applies at the provincial level. The President will advise the Premier of the province to cause the provincial legislature to put up or set up a committee that will undertake the necessary processes of recruitment and emerging with a candidate or candidates that are recommended for appointment, and the provincial legislature will approve one of those whom they will then recommend to the Premier, and the Premier will present that candidate to the President for their appointment. That's what the Constitution requires to be done. So that process is in motion. As I'm speaking to you, I hope by now the correspondence or communication from the President should be already in the hands of the Speaker as well as the Premier of the Northwest, in respect of the Commissioner in the Northwest, as well also the Commissioner in Pretoria, who have already vacated. With regard to the other five that are in question, the same communication will be put in place in the next week or so. That is the situation with regard to the position of the commissioners. The Single Public Service Bill, I can only say we are indeed very much aware of what is happening. We have been engaging with the various stakeholders, in particular the Minister of Public Service and Administration and her office on this bill, discussing the various aspects of it that affect the Public Service Commission. Clearly, this has a tremendous impact. 83 local government structures are going to come into the public service, and that says the Public Service Commission will receive, in addition to the 37 or national departments as well as 90 different provincial cabinet, the various provincial departments will receive this. And so it's an enormous amount of work that is going to fall on the Public Service Commission. We are very much interacting with the various stakeholders. Even this morning, as we were interacting with the Portfolio Committee responsible for public service and administration, we discussed this matter, and there are arrangements afoot for further consultations with the rest of the stakeholders. We are therefore very much primed on this, and we are continuing with the consultations. The matter of quality performance on agreements at municipal nature, I'll leave that to Commissioner Mashego. Vacancy rate, yes, the vacancy rate, 23, yes, I do concede that that is a number that we are living with. The norm in terms of the public service, in other words, not to say that vacancies are good, but the norm says 20 plus minus 20 is an acceptable vacancy rate for a department to live with, of course, assuming that action is being taken. Having said that, in the public service, Office of the Public Service Commission, we are fighting a losing battle because of the transversal nature of our work. In other words, we deal with issues that affect the entire spectrum of the departments. Our officials, therefore, in that process, become experts. Whether you're looking at agriculture, whether you're looking at forest, whether you're looking at environmental services and so on, they become experts in matters relating to governance, matters relating to human resources and so on. And therefore, they become prime candidates for senior positions or promotions in these departments. So, in a sense, we are preparing, we are training ground, really, for the rest of the department. The same thing applies to the Department of Public Service and Administration. The same thing applies to Treasury. Because of the nature of the issues we deal with, this department deal with, the kinds of personnel that you employ, become empowered, if you like, and therefore become very attractive to their candidates. That is our experience there. So as you fill up the post this month, 2 months down the line, a senior official is attracted to a post across where they want somebody with the qualifications which your chief director has, which your director has, and therefore you have a vacancy post. So it goes on like that. That is really the dynamic that we have to put up with. And we do try the best to live with that. The other matters, I think I will leave to. Can I leave the rest to you, Commissioner Mashego?
Thank you, Prof. Chairperson, honorable members. With regards to the performance agreements at local government level, honorable members would be aware that at this stage, in terms of our mandate, we are confined to dealing with provincial and national departments. But the question of bonuses is a very concerning one, because one would want to believe that in order for a bonus to be awarded, there needs to be a basis for it, and that basis in terms of the public service performance agreement or the PMDS framework and the framework for the evaluation of HOT, the performance agreement then forms the basis of the assessment, and then the awarding of the bonus depending on the performance that results therefrom. So currently, the Commission may only advise an MEC of local government should such advice be sought, but we are not intimately involved in the assessment of municipal managers and HODs of local government or at the local government level. I think admin would deal with the compliance rates within the public service and give more details there. Admin Simpson, we will handle that. The
there was a question around the relationship with the special investigation units regarding the investigations that we carry out in order to augment our capacity. We do have a memorandum of understanding with the Auditor General as well as the Public Protector, where our mandate seems to overlap. And in cases of a criminal nature, where we may need to refer, we do refer cases either to the Scorpions or to the Special Investigation Unit. But such cases are dependent on the criteria for the acceptance. We are looking here at public administration investigations, and that is the core mandate of the Public Service Commission. But in the course of our investigations, we do come across issues that then border on criminal issues, and that is where we refer. We do have, as I said, a memorandum of understanding between ourselves, the Public Service Commission, the Auditor General, as well as the Public Protector, where there seems to be an overlap of the mandate. The memorandum of understanding then is the tool that we use to clarify that oversight and to the overlap and to prevent duplication of investigation. There was a question around the rating of the Citizens Forum against the Izimbizo. In order to be able to rate the Izimbizo against the Citizens Forum, one would have to look at the outcome of these processes. As a Public Service Commission, we would want to believe that the Citizens Forum is a unique public participation tool that focuses specifically on a particular program. It is program specific, brings together various stakeholders involved in the articulation of that program, and then seeks to workshop and develop recommendations which are then referred to the department and are then channeled into the budgetary processes of the department for the department then to be able to respond to the recommendations emanating from the process. Whereas in the case of the Izimbizo, it will serve as a platform where a range of issues across a range of departments and services will be raised without a specific feedback and an engagement mechanism to ensure that whatever issues are raised, there is a program of implementation in response thereto. So in our view, these processes should not be traded off one against the other. Each serves a distinct purpose, because the executive would want to engage with citizens, and the Izimbizo will then provide that platform for that to happen. The Citizens Forum will provide a tool where the department will then be able to engage with the key service users of that particular department and address a certain problem that needs to be resolved, and then get a perspective from the users of the service in terms of how such problems would be resolved. And I think this should be complementary in the way serving different purposes but addressing the citizens. And the Citizens Forum, if correctly used, as it was demonstrated through the pilot that we did, it does engage with the program and produces the results. In Mpumalanga, for example, we looked at primary health care, issues of recruitment of health workers, in particular pharmacists, emerged. Issues of clinics in far remote rural areas emerged. And then as a result of the accord which was reached at the end of the forum, clinics were built, for example, in Mananga, in the Komazi district municipal area. A clinic, a new clinic altogether was built. As a result, the road was upgraded. Electricity was provided in that far rural community. The Pietretief Hospital, which almost became obsolete since now for some time, you know, it was blown off in a storm. The prefab building was put up. As a result of the engagement through the Citizens Forum, a new hospital was programmed and is under construction now. Various other issues, the transportation and storage of medicines and drugs, came up through the forums, and the department was made aware of those, and an implementation agreement was reached at the end, because then the Citizens Forum produces a citizens report, which contains all these recommendations that the department needs to engage with. And as such, addresses that particular need in its unique way, distinct from the Eastern region, which then becomes just a forum where the executive becomes aware generally of the issues there. But the feedback mechanism is not distilled to be able to feed into a specific program and then bring about specific results as such. I think I'm not sure, Admiral, is there something else that I need to address before you come in? It's fine.
Perhaps, Chair, if I could just add there, my colleague Kevin, I think he's too humble. He's leaving a very important part that that experience of the Citizens Forum approach in Mpumalanga, which he drove, but was also very much driven by this committee. It was this select committee which gave us at the commission the boost to do our best also to contribute towards the building up of that approach. We have to date even produced a toolkit of that citizens forum approach. And I would even continue making a plea to this select committee that we would still do with half a dozen, if not a dozen, such cases throughout the Republic where you and ourselves could actually form a partnership, identify areas where this approach could be applied, particularly, as he says, in complementing the Izimbizo, where you translate from this abuse into project program specific activities. I think that would be good. More especially given what we see on the ground about what our citizenry are doing, demonstrating without any shadow of doubt that they are not involved in participation in the design of projects. There is no participation. Our source year in, year out does flag that issue. There is no participation. Participation is not, an amazing, glorious thing. It's very simple. It's the simple techniques which we tested in the Citizens Forum of how to get the local people to participate in the design of projects. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I think in the interest of time, there's a number of questions here that may seem to be brief questions, but they require a very comprehensive response. And I think some of the questions specifically around which, if I, for example, go to the question about which departments have not submitted financial disclosures. When we're talking about 136 departments or more in the public service, perhaps we could provide you with that type of information later on, either being faxed to you or I can leave a copy or whatever in relation to that. Similarly with the with the performance agreements. But basically what I can say around financial disclosures, the situation currently as it stands is that we've received 87% for the previous financial year. So there's been a slight increase in the number of financial disclosures received. From the Public Service Commission's perspective, we've always said that 100% is what we strive for, and that only 100% will be acceptable because it's a regulatory requirement for senior managers to comply with. Around performance agreements, our concerns are still valid in relation to performance agreements, not only in relation to the HOD's performance agreements that are filed with us, but if based on our studies, for example, we did an audit into the performance, granting of performance awards at departments of education and social development both at national and provincial levels. And the extent to which performance agreements was not compiled, or even in cases where performance agreements were not concluded and merit awards were awarded, remains a concern for the Public Service Commission. I just want to clarify something around the 23 vacant posts that was mentioned. It should also be taken into cognizance that, as I've mentioned earlier in my presentation, our office has been restructured into four branches. So a revised structure came into effect with effect from 1 April 2008. So there were a few additional posts that had to be filled. But linked to that, I think our office prides itself that it's probably one of the few examples of an organization within this public service where when a post becomes vacant, except in exceptional circumstances, we fill that post before 3 months has passed, within 90 days. That post from becoming vacant to being filled, it takes us less than 90 days, probably closer to 60, 70 days for a post to be filled. The question was raised, what other areas requires our increased capacity? I've talked about the interventions, and I don't think it's the extent of how these interventions impact on our office is fully understood. If I can give you the example of the intervention at Home Affairs that we were involved in, it actually took our Director General and a complement of staff out of the Office of the Public Service Commission for a big portion of the financial year. So we only have 220 or 230 people, and if you remove a whole segment of that office out, you must understand what the impact is in terms of the rest of the rest of the priorities that we have to deliver on. Similarly, with land affairs, it was a huge exercise that involved looking at basically all the service delivery imperatives of that organization, and you basically had to take out a section of our office to deal with that investigation. And again, impacting on our other areas of priority. Other issues that I mentioned was around the investigations, the influx of investigations continuing to grow, whether it be through the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, whether it be through our own complaints mechanisms, our complaints rules. There's also an increasing number of investigations that emanate from Parliament and from the provincial legislatures. As well as from the executive, and as our various stakeholders came to realize the value that the Office of the Public Service and the Public Service Commission itself adds to the area of public administration, so the demands emanating from them increases on the Public Service Commission. We've talked about the single public service within monitoring and evaluation. We want to broaden our scope for monitoring and evaluation by doing more evaluations of departments already evaluated to determine the extent of progress that has been made. I've talked about the National Anti-Corruption Forum, where there's a need for deepening our role. There's a wide range of areas that already, not in the future even, that already affects us, and which has made us to deliver beyond what our capacity is currently. Then just on the issue of supply chain management, the Public Service Commission shares that concern around supply chain management, and we're currently in the process of finalizing an investigation into supply chain management practices in the threshold below 200,000 rands. This is actually the dangerous area, because departments do not have to go out for tender. They don't have to go out for tender to get a service provider appointed. You go for three quotes and you appoint a service provider, and there's a lot of dangers in this area through issues such as splitting quotes, cover quoting, all of these things, and we are in the process of finalizing this investigation. We picked this up through the complaints that have been lodged with the Public Service Commission relating to supply chain management practices, and we should be producing a report in this regard quite soon now. Lodging of grievances, why are so many grievances withdrawn? Well,
from a labor relations perspective, one would hope that the grievances are withdrawn because it has been resolved. The Public Service Commission's view on grievance resolution has always been, and that's the way, the reason why its grievance rules has been devised in the manner that it has been devised, is that a grievance must be resolved as close as possible to its point of origin. It's only in exceptional circumstances where it should be escalated either to the executing authority or to the Public Service Commission if it cannot be resolved. We have in the past on a few occasions received complaints of victimization and threats of victimization, but I would hesitate to make a generalization and say that this is the reason for grievances to be withdrawn. Around the issue of the where the public service the correctional services whether it should be in the services the General Service Bargaining Council or the Security Bargaining Council, that is something that unfortunately one would not be in a position to comment at this point in time. I mean, we have not looked at the rationale for including the correctional services within the General Public Service Bargaining Council in the first place. So without an informed background to such a issue, one would not be able to comment at this stage.
Just to add to what Mrs. Simpson has said about the grievances, the withdrawal and otherwise. And to say that this matter can actually get very delicate and complicated. We are aware of instances, because these have been drawn to our attention, we are aware of instances where officers will come to the committee, select committee or portfolio committee, to raise their grievance so that the committee can approach either the commission or the department. We discourage that because it then breeds the breach of the areas of operation, parliamentary, executive, and so on. At the end of the day, it really renders null and void all the structures that have been created or set up to deal with the grievances. We quite appreciate indeed on the kind of context in which some of the officials can do this. Some of it can be just pure and ordinary agency shopping, where they believe they can derive more support. But where one has seen this, and we have had cases where these matters have been brought to us from the parliamentary sources, and we have discouraged that as much as we can do that. But otherwise, the issues that Admiral Simpson has raised about how the grievances can be withdrawn, those I subscribe to. But also, we have had instances, and we've dealt with this. We've had instances where the officer has directly sent the grievance directly to the commission to say, here is a grievance I have submitted as required to the executive authority, but I notice it's not been brought to your attention. We've acted on those instances by referring it back to the executive authority and prevailing upon the executive authority to take the necessary action to deal with this matter through the appropriate channels in which it should be dealt with.
Thank you very much. On the question, the area of the answers that has very complex, the questions are very complex answers. We are debating on the 18th. Maybe if I can propose, and then if you could fax the answers of those questions by Friday morning to the secretary of the committee, if it is acceptable with the members, especially two of those, I think, belongs to the Honourable Mokoena. Is it acceptable, members, that we have those questions by at least Friday morning? And
Chair, if I can just follow up on that, that would be around the financial disclosures, the departments, the levels of compliance.
Thanks. I need to.
And even their view on the bargaining versus security bargaining council. The general versus security bargaining council, if I can get a view on that one, because if I can get a view as well, in writing still, I'll appreciate it. Just to get a view on what they think about this proposal by officials from the Correctional Services Department.
That was the question you raised in connection with Correctional Services. Who have a preference, or who seem to have a preference for the Security Bargaining Council instead of the General Council? Can you comment on it?
Okay, do you want to comment on this?
Now, what I indicated was that without background to why Correctional Services was included in the General Public Service Bargaining Council in the first place, it would be difficult provide informed comment on an issue of this nature. I mean, it was a process that was designed for collective bargaining, and we were not privy to the background that went into the decisions to include specific sectors and or specific departments within specific sectors. And I don't think that it would be possible for us to obtain the necessary information and come with a comment by Friday morning on an issue of this nature. It's really an area that belongs to the arena of collective bargaining and the structuring of departments in the different sectors, sectoral councils of the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Chamber.
And he's effectively got away, but we won't allow you getting away. Members, colleagues, we have agreed to a time, and I think we've been very effective and we've kept to that time. I want to appeal that we close the question time, if it's acceptable. Yep. Yeah. Then I would like and ask the professor maybe to give us some closing remarks, and after that request the Honorable Baba Mthuli, the Honorable Mthuli, just to thank the Commission for the presentation. Thank you.
No, Chair, thank you very much. I think I can only, on behalf of the delegation here, thank you and the honorable members for this opportunity to engage with you. We've always valued our engagements with you, as I said before. Engagements with you have in the past produced for us what we consider to be very practical results, such as I indicated earlier on about the Citizens Forum, and even today the nature of the questions that you have posed to us. Very practical questions, very far-reaching questions, which we appreciate very much. The appeal that I would make to you, Chair and Honourable Members, is that when you do indeed in your session at NCOP come to the discussion on the budget vote of the Public Service Commission, if you would bear in mind the contextual challenge that we have placed before you here, arising from the emergence of the new public service, particularly the prospect of local governments coming on board, the implications of that on the public service, which is simply this, that that raises the need to ask for additional resources. Not so much rents and cents. We need warm bodies. We need warm bodies to put on board so we can deal with the demands of our mandate. Not sure, of course, that comes through the rents and cents, but I emphasize that the real need in this context is warm bodies. We just do not have adequate numbers to deal with the nature of the problems that
will face us. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. We would like to thank the Commission. And Professor, we always say we would like to have partnership with the Commission when we are going for oversight. But we keep on talking, we haven't seen the synchronization of that. We wish, although the time is not allowing now, but we would like in the future, if you are going for an oversight, to be with you, particularly with the information you have. It will be easy to interact with the departments at the ground. Secondly, about the it's very unfortunate that the Parliament cannot amend the budget. You know, when the minister comes, we approve what they've requested. We at the moment, we cannot be able to add that because you requested this, we can give you this because of the need. It doesn't work like that. We just look what is there and we approve what is presented to us. That is a very unfortunate part. But we are going there. We have heard that there is a legislation where we'll be able to amend the budget instead of, because it comes done when it comes to us. To us, it's just to approve what is there. Yeah, but with those words, I think it is relevant. Your commission is a relevant one, particularly to the members as oversight practitioners. If we can tighten our working relationship, it will be better. It will serve a good purpose for both of us. With those words, thank you very much for your time and for the deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ramatuli. Let me also just thank the staff, the secretary, and PMG for the support here. But a special thank you to the members. I don't think that all of them are aware, but this was my maiden chairing of a committee. You know, these members...